Father, I thank you, Lord, as we again here for fellowship. Even as it is written, they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread. And they were joyful as they fellowshipped together. We pray that there will be joy in our hearts as we fellowship together around the word of God today. Break unto us this bread of life. He said, this is the bread that come down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and live forever. Glory to God. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we are in the book of Romans chapter 12 as we continue our Bible study through this book. And we have covered in this particular chapter the first couple of verses dealing with, a living sacrifice and so forth. And also we dealt with renewing our minds. We dealt with God's will, etc. Today, I want to read through and continue from the verses following that. But I will do this a little differently today because of the topic that we are in for today. Recognize and use your gifts with humility. I'm going to try to engage everyone right from the beginning of today's study, because, you know, we all need to participate in this. So, but anyway, let me first of all read through the text and then we'll talk about it. Praise the Lord. I'm going to start from verse 3 of Romans chapter 12, seeing that we already covered the first two verses. Verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you. Well, man there doesn't mean man, as in gender only. It's everyone that is among you. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God had dealt to everyone the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to proportion of faith, whether ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on his exhortations, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, and giving to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as it lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. When so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Praise the Lord for the reading of his word. Well, I'm not going to cover all that text today. I just wanted to read through it. We probably will be dealing with just a few verses. Mostly verses 3 through about 8. Talking about the various giftings that are in the body of Christ and how we should use that with humility. He starts out this section by saying, and giving out a commandment or exhortation or admonition to everybody, you know, to walk with humility and not to think of ourselves more than we ought. What does that mean? I mean, how can you think of yourself really more than you ought? Well, in my mind, it means that we forget that it's the grace of God that is doing whatever that, you know, we are able to do for the Lord. It's really the grace of God in us. And in some cases, Paul said, well, the grace of God was mighty in me. Well, it's the grace of God that's working in us. And it is even God himself that works in us to even do anything. According to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, we read, it's God that worketh in us, you know, both to will and to perform of his good pleasure. So even the ability to desire to do the things that please God, to desire it and to actually do it. We talked about actually doing the will of God yesterday. That very desire, even to desire it, comes from God. And the ability to do it comes from God. Now, Paul, in other places, talks about this, walking in this humility concerning how we think about ourselves. He talks about it in, again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. He said, if any man think that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Again, that's telling us the same thing, not to be puffed up with knowledge. For that's what he starts that chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians. That's what he started out by saying. He said that knowledge puffs up, but charity edifieth. You know, what does knowledge puffing up mean? Well, you know, there are times that we think that we are better than others. Not just in the acts that we do, and that's one area where people think they're better. The Pharisee that Jesus talked about in his prayer in Luke chapter 18, he was talking about his own acts being better than others. For we are told that Jesus told that parable because of those that thought within themselves that they were righteous and then despised others. So they thought, some people that think that they are better than others in that regard, in the things that they do. I fast twice a week. I do this. I do that. The man said, he said, well, you know, I give tithes and all that I possess. I'm not as other men are, not even as this publican over here. You know, I'm walking straight as an arrow. You know, I do these things. I'm in the ministry, I'm in the praise team, I'm a preacher, I'm a whatever. So we can think of ourselves as being better than others, you know, in some of the things we do. But then there's also, you know, in knowledge. I mean, some people are very knowledgeable in the scriptures. Apollos in the early church was a man that was mighty in the scriptures. He didn't know very much at first, only the baptism of John, but with that, he was still mighty in the scripture. He could convince mightily the Jews. He was very good. And Paul himself, you know, was a very learned and educated man. And we can use our knowledge sometimes to make us think that we're better. You know, we, yeah, and I've seen that in the circle of, believers, especially when we started coming to the so-called end time message in the 70s and early 80s up in there, people would think that they were better than others. The Lord gave us instructions then to come out of Babylon, Revelation 18 and 4. Come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her plagues. You know, and you know, we learned back then that the way that the churches were organized, yeah, they were doing it after the ways of man and were not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead. And God was rejecting those practices. He said, come out of them. And many of us came out, you know, I never went into any of those organizations in the first place, thank God. But many of us came out, but there was an opportunity for us to be gracious. At most times we were not. We'd look down on others that didn't have that knowledge. And, you know, till this day, we may even still look down on others that don't have the right knowledge. Some people that have knowledge about this and that, you know, we use it as a litmus test sometimes, you know. If people don't believe the way we believe, then we look down on them, we separate from them. We think that we are better. Even the disciples at one time, you know, they all thought they were better than others. They saw some others trying to cast out devils or doing the works of the Lord. And they said, you can't do that. You're not part of us. We are the disciples of Christ. Who are you guys? And they tried to forbid them from doing it. Jesus told them, no, don't do that. So there are, you know, many ways that we can think of this lesson and instruction to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Sometimes it could be the placement and the grace of God in society. Some people may be more affluent in wealth and so forth than others. I mean, some can speak very well. And then we look down on those who can't. And so on and so forth. You know, but then this lesson here that we want to deal with today is talking about the various different giftings in the body of Christ. We're not all the same. We will look at 1 Corinthians 12 in parallel with this study today. It talks about the body ministry, the various parts that are in the body. I mean, almost a whole chapter that Paul devotes to explaining that started out by the gifts of the Spirit and so forth. But he actually went into more than those, just those spiritual gifts. And here, it's not just about the spiritual gifts of, you know, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, working of miracles, faith, healing, you know, designing of spirits, I mean, tongues and interpretations. It's not just about those. It's a lot of giftings, you know, that God has in the body of Christ. So we want to talk about that. And we want to make sure that everybody can recognize the gifts that God has placed in their lives, and that we use those gifts with humility in the service of others, service of the Lord, the work of the ministry, etc. The even leaders at times may not humble themselves. We may think that we are better than others just because we are the ones that have the mic or the ones that are speaking, you know, but we want to make sure that everybody walks with humility is what Paul is saying. I don't think you are better than anybody else. I remember as a young man, it's a personal testimony. I was just coming into the ministry, but there was so much grace and power of God in my life at the beginning, you know. And, you know, I was already, you know, had the ability and the grace to, even as a young man, to find myself in leadership, speaking in different places and doing things. And, you know, one day, the Lord told me this thing, and it has helped me from then even until now. And he told me that, you know, every time, because I was a young man, I had the mic most of the times. I said, well, you know, every time you have the mic, think about this. Just because you have the mic. I mean, you know, that's illustrative of you being the speaker. We didn't always have microphones back then, but just because you are there, yeah, you know, doesn't mean that you are better than anybody. You're just, you know, a mouthpiece, the Lord said. And you will speak the words that I put in your mouth. But that doesn't make you better than those who are listening to you. I've chosen you at that time to deliver the message of the Lord, to bring glory to God and to edify the body of Christ. And he told me, and as much as you are zealous of these kind of things, well, then you must endeavor and seek to excel, you know, in the edifying of the body of Christ. And told me these things as a young man, and that has always guided me. You know, if I wanted to do anything for the Lord, then I remember that, well, if the Lord was giving me the ability to do it, it wasn't because I was better than anybody else, or just because, you know, he chose me to do it. And he can choose anybody he wants. And then I have to be, you know, intentional to not be desirous of vainglory, but to seek to the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, some people who want to be in leadership, they always think of only being the one that is preaching. That's not what leadership is all about. And when people seek to preach or be in front of the crowd and so on, you know, it's not always necessarily about them being of service to the people. It's more about being desirous of vainglory, wanting to be seen. And Jesus warned about these things. He talked about, you know, quite a bit against the Pharisees. He said, you guys always like to be seen. In Matthew chapter 6, he talked about, you know, how they would pray. He said, well, and instructed us, said, look, when you pray, don't be as the Pharisees, you know, these things. But they like to stand in the street corners and different places and pray long prayers to be seen of men. Well, it may not even be in street corners. It may even be inside the church. We may like to stand up and pray long prayers so that people can know, that brother can pray powerful prayer. That sister, powerful when she prays and so forth. Or when she teaches, or when he teaches, powerful, you know, and so on. Well, yeah, that may be so, but the person that is so doing, they must be careful not to think of those things in their head. Yeah, this is some of the things that Paul was talking about. Well, Jesus, he talked about this, you know, told us these things. In the Gospels, he said, look, when you have actually done all these things, in Luke chapter 17, he told us, when you've done all these things that you are doing, don't think of yourself as anything. Father, let me read that to you. In the book of Luke chapter 17, Jesus was saying this to them from verse 7. Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him by and by when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Will he not rather say unto him, go make ready wherewith I may sup and eat, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? I mean, basically, you sent your servant to go and do something in the field. And as when they come back, are you going to tell them now to go sit down and eat? No. You're going to send them to do some other stuff. You know, they're going to go fix your meal, do whatever you want them to do, and so forth. And after they've done all that, then they may serve themselves. And Jesus is saying, well, does the man thank the servant because he did those things which were commanded him now to do? He said, no, I don't think so. So likewise ye, and this is a good lesson. Likewise ye, when you shall have done those things which were commanded you, don't be puffed up just because you are able to do those things. Jesus said, you know, instead, you should humble yourself and say, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done that which was our duty to do. Although, in other words, you know, the payment for your services, I mean, and the, you know, the recognition for your services should not be the thing that is uppermost in your heart. Jesus said, think of yourself as even unworthy. You know, I was in a prayer meeting one day some time back, and as we were praying, there was a prayer led or raised, which led me to actually share this scripture. And the prayer was raised by somebody that, well, you know, the Lord should bless those of us who are doing this work, that are going out, that are doing the evangelism and the this and the that and so forth. Well, at that time, I was also an active part of the evangelistic team, always going out, doing all this stuff and so on. You know, but as the prayer was being raised and the, you know, prayer was being made, the scripture just came to mind. And when I began to speak about it, didn't go very well because people thought I was being contrary. Well, and I said, well, this is what the scripture says. You know, after you have done all those things, don't think of yourself as if you've done anything. You know, and sometimes we think we are better than others. You know, the ones that know how to sing, I think they are better than those who don't know how to sing. The ones that know how to preach, like myself, we may think that we are better than others who can speak as well. You know, and we may be scholastic and know how to put things together. That doesn't necessarily make us better than somebody who stumbles through their words. Or we may be gifted in one thing or the other. And we're going to be talking more about these giftings. You know, some people have the propensity for prayer. They can just, I mean, they love to do it, love to get up. I mean, God has gifted them with, you know, this garment of prayer. They can pray, you know, go into their closet, not just the one that come out in the open, but, you know, some of them even pray behind the scenes, you know. Most successful ministries are backed by prayer warriors. Yeah, you may not even know them, but they're the ones praying and doing all these things. You know, the ministry of intercession, they stand right there in the gap and pray for others. There are many more things than what's listed here in Romans 12 and even in 1 Corinthians 12. But we're going to try to bring it all together. Now, but I may be thinking that I'm better than others. You know, if I'm, you know, I have the motivation to be a prayer warrior. And when there's prayer meeting, I'm always the first there. It's a tendency that I could look down on others who don't come. Now, why do these people not come to prayer meeting? Why are they not motivated to pray? Well, you know, that's between them and God. Or, you know, maybe I am, you know, one of the, you know, soul winners team. I say, well, you know, why is everybody else not excited about going out to preach the gospel like we are? Well, it's not your concern. you know, God has given it to you. You know, people love to challenge. It's a good thing to challenge one another, you know, provoke one another to good works, but be careful, you know, how you do that in your mind. You know, because we may be thinking Well, why are these others not doing these things? In fact, there is a, you know, there is a story in the book of John where, you know, the Lord was talking to Peter in John chapter 21, after his resurrection and so forth. And he came to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? You know, because remember, Peter had boasted that, you know, even if anybody, everybody else departed, he would not depart. So Jesus come to him, do you actually love me more than this? Well, he said, oh, Lord, thou knowest, I love thee. Oh, okay, feed my lambs. Then he said to him again, second time. And one day I was saying here that, you know, Peter denied the Lord three times. Jesus come to him three times here and ask him the same questions. Give him a chance. Again, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me, etc. Three times. Spaced out same way as he, times that he denied the Lord, I believe. And then finally, Peter was grieved. And he said, oh, why are you asking me a third time? You know I love you. And so forth. Jesus said, oh, feed my sheep. And then, you know, told him some other things and told me, follow me and so on. And then Peter, the next thing he does in verse 20 of John 21, Peter turned around and see Jesus, I mean, see the disciple whom Jesus loved. Right? That's how John used to describe himself. So he sees John and he says to the Lord, well, what about John? What will you have this man do? I mean, if I'm supposed to do all these things, what about him? And Jesus said, that's none of your concern. You focus on what I want you to do. See, this is the problem with us. You know, many times we're looking at somebody else. Why are they not doing this thing? Well, maybe God didn't call them to do that. You're the one that he called. You focus on what he called you. People always think that everybody must be doing whatever it is that they are graced to do. And then we think that if they're not doing it, then we tell them, well, why are you not doing it? That's not your concern. You know, you're not the one that called them. You do your own. Leave them alone. It's okay to encourage us to do, encourage us to prayer, encourage us to do witnessing, encourage us to do this and that. But don't be judgmental in your mind. It's very easy to be judgmental. The way we bring it out, you know, just, you know, why everybody, you know, so lackadaisical in things, you know, why are they at ease in Zion? Why are they not doing this? And so on and so forth. Well, it could be an element, if we're not careful, of spiritual pride. So, you know, that's one of the ways that we can expand what Paul is saying here, that don't think of yourself better than anybody else. You know, just think soberly as God has dealt to every man measure of faith and grace. It's God. If God didn't give you the ability, you couldn't do it. You know, so because you are able to do it, you shouldn't then think that you are better than anybody else. God gave you the ability, otherwise you couldn't do it. So these are the things that, you know, Paul's talking about here. And we, you know, we need to be very careful. Paul talks in other places about, you know, even in this place, he talks about it, in honor preferring one another in other places, you know, not being desirous of vain glory and so forth, you know. And, you know, some people like to also, you know, be acknowledged for the things that they do. If we do something, we like to come out and talk about it, you know, so that people may acknowledge and know that we are doing it, you know. And, you know, well, I mean, it is a good thing to give testimony unto the Lord, but we have to be careful. What's the motive behind the things that we do? Even when I give testimony of, you know, great things in my life about faith, is it really just to encourage people to believe God? Or is there some secret desire in there to show everybody that I have faith? Is there some secret desire in there to show that I am the one that's winning souls? I am the one that knows how to pray more than others. You know, one time I heard somebody even say, we were in a prayer meeting, and somebody came out and told us that they prayed for, I don't know if they said 16 or 18 hours in one day. And they were rebuking everybody else. I mean, this person was rebuking everybody else for not being so prayerful, telling us how he went somewhere and was prayed for so many hours. Well, it's a good thing to encourage others to pray. But is it a good thing for us to say that because I prayed for 16 hours and somebody else only prayed for 30 minutes, that it means they don't have strength or that they, you know, are babies in Christ? I mean, people, you know, all kinds of things go in people's heads. You know, and you don't know, you know, what it is. I mean, Jesus spent a long time in prayers. We know that. And it's a good example. You know, but Jesus told them to pray also. You know, it's a good admonition. But the length of prayer that we pray is not the quality that God looks at. In fact, Jesus warned about that in John chapter 6. He said, look, these Pharisees, they think they shall be heard for their long prayer. You know, they make vain repetitions and so forth. But maybe the one that prayed for 30 minutes, maybe they had faith. They come in there. They worship the Lord, they pray point blank, they know it's done, and they move on. Maybe you are there just to show that you can pray long. Who knows? I don't know. God is the judge of all the hearts. You know, every heart is open before him, you know, with whom we have to do, according to, you know, the, you know, book of Hebrews, chapter 4. We're not, there is nothing that is not open before him. And so God is warning us here that we should be careful, because the word of God is the designer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Be careful now. Don't be boastful in your heart. And spiritual pride is very, very delicate. Sneak in there. You know, people can be, you know, think they're better than others. Oh, you know, I know the end time prophecies, and I know these things, and so forth. And all these people in all these denominations that don't know these things, you know, there's a language they used to call them even in those days, call them bunch. They, you know, they don't know anything. You know, and then we get this spiritual pride in our head. And Paul is warning, don't think more highly than it. Think soberly. Yeah, just think soberly. Did you know that the very first sin in the entire world, universe, or anywhere else was pride? Pride entered into Lucifer's heart because he was decked with beauty and music and stones and different things. You know, the sum of beauty, I mean, it was incredible. It was very close to the throne too. And pride entered into his heart, you know. He said he wasn't content, you know. I'm going to do more. I'm going to ascend to the stars of heaven. I'm going to go up the mounts of God. I'm going to be like the Most High. Well, that was his first mistake. You won't be like the Most High. You know, you can only be if he imparts his nature into you. But you can't compare yourself. You know, to whom will you liken me, saith the Lord. And the pride entered into his heart because of all the beauty and the various things that he could do. You know, so we got to be very, very careful. So that's the first part of this this lesson today. It's talking about, you know, Paul saying, look, I myself am graced by God to speak these things unto you. So through this grace that's given to me, I say to everyone that's among you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think soberly, as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. See, we all have faith, and you all will get your reward if you do faithfully. The story of the talents that Jesus told, you know, the one that got the five, and the one that got the two, and the one that got the one. You know, we see that the one that got the five did not get any greater blessing than the one that got the two. Since they both produced 100%, the one that got the five produced five more. because God distributed to them according to their several ability. That's what we are told. And the one that got the two, he also produced 100% because he brought two more. And he got exactly the same benediction. Thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful in small, I'll give you bigger things, enter thou into joy of the Lord. Exact same thing to both of them because they did exactly the same thing. Now, we might look at that in human terms and say the one that produced five did more. No, he did not, because it was according to the proportional that was given to him. He was only able to produce 100%. Produce 100%. The other one also produced 100%. The one that ended up with 10, who started with 5, was in no better shape than the one that ended up with 4, who started out with 2. They did according to the several grace that was given to them. This one was graced with 2. He went out and did 2 more. That's 100%. This one was graced with 5. He went out and did 5 more. That's 100%. Just exactly the same thing. The only one that was wicked was the one that did nothing. See, with the what he had. He could have gone out and maybe he would have produced 1 more. And he would have got exactly the same reward as the others. See, because, you know, all we got to do is be faithful in what you have. Never mind what somebody else is doing or not doing. That's not our concern. You be faithful in what you are called to do and do it without being proud or high-minded or any such thing. So that's the first lesson that we will see here in this on this subject matter of recognizing our gifts, using them with humility. I wanted to talk about that humility part, but when I go into the gifts portion here in a bit, I am going to engage everybody. You know, but as a reminder, you know, Paul was writing about different gifts. You know, he said, look, there are different gifts in the body of Christ that has been given to us. And he said, look, the body has many members. And every one of us are members one of another. And he developed this concept quite a bit also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He talked about that, you know, from verse 12 all the way down. Talked about it quite a bit. For as the body is one, you know, and hath many members, he said, and all members of that one body being many are one, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we have all been made to drink into that one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You know, just because you say that, you know, or, you know, if the ear shall say that because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? I mean, what would be, what function, what part of the body would function for the hearing if the whole body was an eye? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? And so Paul just broke it down here in this 1 Corinthians 12 to show that, look, the body ministry is comprised of many parts, you know, and so is the body of Christ, many parts. I mean, even in the human body, we know that the brain is great. I mean, all the things that happen in the body are driven from the brain. But the brain itself is useless. If you take it out of the head and put it on the table, it looks ugly. It can't function like that. You know, had to be connected within nerves and everything else to every part of the body, to the spine and to everything else before it can actually do its function. It can't just function by itself, as great as the brain is, you know. So, you know, the same thing with every part of the body. No part of the body can say that they are not part of the body or that they are better than some other part. That's what Paul is saying here. You know, so he said God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You know, and so on. And there was a day the Lord gave me a parable, you know, and I said, well, and in that parable, he was explaining this thing to me. I saw some things, tell me some things. And it was as though, you know, think of it this way. You are in the shower, right? At different parts of the body that function when you are in the shower. And the hand says to the feet, well, why is it that you always just stand there? You know, every time, and I'm the one that has to scrub everything. I mean, you know, you just stand there, you do nothing. You know, and then he said, well, today, I'm not doing that. You know, because you always stand there and you do nothing, you're not getting a scrub down today. That's what the hand says to the feet. Well, okay. Feet said, okay. And then when they're finished, and scrub every part of the body except the feet, because he's angry with the feet, because the feet just staying there all the time, just standing in the shower and doing nothing. Well, so, okay. When the shower is done, every part of the body got it scrubbed down except the feet. When it was time to get out of the shower, the feet refuses to move. You know, so it's like, look, oh, everything must function together. Just because you are the one doing the scrubbing and so forth, the feet is just standing there. It has its own role. When you're done showering and you didn't shower the feet, it may refuse to move. And then what are you going to do? Well, you know, so they must all work together. Hallelujah. The eyes must be looked to see where the sponge is, the shower cap is, the soap, and so on. You turn on the tap. I mean, hand do this, this. Every part must function together. And when it's time to be to leave, then the feet must carry the body out of that shower. You can't say, well, because you were just standing there, then you have no use. Well, when it's time to go, he may not say, well, I'm not going anywhere. And where would that leave you? Well, so also is the body of Christ. You know, you can't, it's not, you one cannot think, you know, I'm better. Your hand was thinking, well, I'm always better than you. I'm the one always doing everything. No, you're not. You're doing what you were designed to do. That's exactly right. So in the body of Christ, same way, we must not think of ourselves as being better than anybody else. We are all part of the same body and we must do our function with that which every joint supplieth. And if you don't do your part, the body is not complete. You know, if the hands refuse to do their part, the body is not complete. The feet, if you try to use the feet to do the role of the hands, it will be very awkward. And if the eyes were supposed to do the role of the feet, that would be almost impossible. So God has fashioned it all together that they should walk together, not with any schism and one part say, I'm better than the other. No, you're not. You know, you have a role to play. So think soberly. The hands should think soberly. You're not better than the feet just because you are doing the function that God told you to do. The feet, you're not better than the hearing or the ears or the eyes. Or all these must function together. You know, otherwise, you know, the person will not be functioning in full capacity. If any part of their senses or any part of their limbs or whatever is not working, then they are not complete. You know, so this is the lesson of, you know, tender your hearts with humility. Don't think of yourself more highly, but know that we are part of the same body. And that God has set different gifts in the body, then different roles and different functions, you know. And the person that is, maybe their job is just to come out there and clean the bathroom in the church building. And so maybe that's all they do, you know, and so forth. They're not any less important than anybody else. If they didn't clean the bathroom, nobody, you know, people wouldn't love the church. The church would be smelly and everything. You know, so everybody has a role to play. You know, some people, their role is just to do this. Maybe they're the greeter. Their role is just to smile and welcome people and so on. Whatever it is, you know, everybody has a role. You must do with diligence the things that God has given you to do. And like, we're going to talk about those gifts now in the body of Christ, whatever. You know, when we talk about these gifts, people focus more on the spiritual gifts, you know, that Paul was talking about in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, you know, concerning spiritual gifts. Well, that's not only the, you know, this kind of gifts. You know, there are other gifts, administrative gifts, you know, there are natural gifts, there are various giftings and, you know, things. You got to discover what it is that God put in you. It's not only about, you know, speaking in tongues, discerning of spirits, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, all these things. So, you know, those are good. They have their roles, but there is more. Let's talk about some of the ones that Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter 12. And how do we discover the gifts that are in our life? But the admonition he gives here is, look, whatever gift you have, well, first, you got to know which gift you have. Well, how do we discover that? We're going to talk about that. But whatever gift you have, remember, it's not, there are many members in the body, not just one. You know, so the one member that has a gift and a function to do that thing, they're not the only one and they're not the most important. Everything must work together. That's what he's saying. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that he's giving us. Yeah, so some of you may be prophets. Well, then do it according to proportion of faith. Ministry. Ministry is so wide. You know, there's so many. Think of your own ministry that you belong to, your local ministries that you belong to. There's so many aspects of ministry. In our own ministry here, the church and so forth. The church that people think is, you know, the ministry is not. It's only one part of the ministry. You know, we have other things. You know, we've got, you know, in our place, we've got the community impact ministry that we have. We got the praise team. We got the soul winners action team. We got the children's ministry. We got the women's ministry. We got this and that. We got the prayer teams. We got, I mean, so just all kinds of, we have media. I mean, that's all part of the ministry. It's not just the church. When we come together on Sunday and there's beautiful music and somebody gets up to preach, they are not the most important people or the only people. You know, they're just doing one part of it. There's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes to even make that to happen. You know, praise the Lord. You know, so this is all very important. You know, there are some people whose roles to make sure that everything is working. The electricity is working, the plumbing is working, and so on and so forth. I remember even one day we were going to have a concert at the church. You know, big concert that we were expecting, you know, various people and so forth. And we had to bring in our electrician, who's not a member of the church. We don't even know. I don't even know if he was a believer. We brought him in to sit in that, you know, in that event to make sure, because there was a lot of equipment they brought in, all kinds of things, and to make sure that the circuitry was fine and that nothing would trip, because we hadn't tested all those things and it was just good overload. And, you know, he sat in one corner as if he was not an important person. But, you know, people didn't know his role that day was so important. role was to make sure that everything functioned. And then there were the people on stage that had the glamour, you know, all the lights and everything and so forth. But there was this little man in the corner somewhere that was making sure the load was properly balanced. You get the point. You know, everybody's role is important. So here are some things that Paul talks about here. Prophecy. Well, he said, look, whatever you have, devote yourself to getting it done and doing it even better. That's what he's saying. If you are gifted with prophecy, well, wait on that prophecy. We'll talk about that. You know, how do you get better at it? You know, if you are doing any part of ministry, do it conscientiously. Get better at it. If you are teaching, wait on that teaching. Well, how do you get better at teaching? If you will give exhortation. So Paul here is actually separating teaching from exhortation. And I've seen that, you know, even in my life, there are times when I'm teaching, such as I'm doing now. You know, you're teaching, you're breaking it down, you're bringing scripture, you're doing all of this. And sometimes you're just exhorting. You just say a few things. You're not necessarily going to scripture, scripture, scripture. You know, and so those things are different. You know, and you can be giving. You know, there are some people who are, you know, talented and graced with the givers. And people don't see that as, you know, the one, as well as the one that comes out and prophesies when everybody's there. You come out and prophesy and everybody sees you. Yeah, and you get that glory. You know, Jesus said, be careful now. You can't get the reward twice. Jesus said, they have their reward. Well, that means they're not going to get another reward. So if people give you accolades and you enjoy that, and you do things just to be praised of men, then Jesus said, well, you have your reward. That means you are not getting another reward because you already have your reward. You know, so we got to be careful now. Which reward do you really want? The temporary glory or honor that people give you, or lasting reward from God? You know, when we stand before him. And the day when he does that, there'll be a lot of glory for some and some regret for others. So some people that give, and they give in background, they just give with simplicity. They don't make a pomp and show about it. Some people do pomp and show. If they give an offering, they want it to be announced. And there are some churches, you know, that do that. And, you know, some well-meaning folks actually try to fall into that as well. Oh, let's come out and thank them. Let's acknowledge them. Why? You know, what about others? It doesn't matter what they gave. Just because somebody gave, let me just give an example. Let's say somebody gave $5,000 and another person gave $5. And then we say, oh, this person that gave $5,000, let's come out. Let's, you know, thank them. Let's acknowledge them. Let's honor them. Well, what about the person that gave $5? That $5 could have been more in the eyes of God than the one that gave 5,000. Because Jesus gave that example. The woman that had the widow's mite, that's all she had. She gave 100% of everything she had. The people that were out of their own abundance, casting things into the treasury, theirs was not even in proportion, you know, to where. That's why even when God instituted, you know, tithing back then, it was not an amount, it was a percentage, you know, so that it can be equal. See, if I have $100 and I want to give a tithe and I give 10%, remember I say I want to give a tithe and I give 10%, and it's $10. If you have $1,000 and you want to give a tenth and it's $100, we both give the same because it's a tenth. It wasn't an amount. It was a tenth. You gave a tenth. I gave a tenth. The one that gave 5,000 may have even given less than the one that gave $5. But if we come out there, you know, and so forth, you know, boast on the one that gave. Sometimes people, even when they give a, you know, big offering, they make a big check, come out there, they present it, and everybody sees it. They have their reward. It's that simple. But he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Just do it. draw attention to yourself. You know, if you are ruling, here we see that administrations are also gifts to rule, to do things, to put things in order and so forth. Some people are talented with that. When you are organizing an event, there are some people that are, they are masters at it. They can just put things together and so on. But it's a gift. Some people plan everything. They don't even want to be known. They like to be in the background. It's a gift. You know, what do you get? Some people, theirs is to even be merciful. You would not think that that's even a gift. Everybody should be merciful, the Bible says. But some people have grace to do it more. All these things we should all be able to do. Everybody should be able to prophesy. The Bible says you can all prophesy that all may learn. But some are graced to do it more. Everybody should be able to pray. All this business of I'm a prayer warrior. We should all be prayer warriors. But some people are graced to do it more. You know, this business of soul winners. We should all be soul winners. Jesus told it to all of us to do it. But some people are graced to do more. You know, we should all be preachers. If they don't, Romans chapter 10, when we were doing it some days ago, said, look, how can they hear if there will be no preachers? We should all be, but some people are graced to do it more. And so don't think of yourself as better than others. And don't think of yourself as less than others as well. That is what the one with the one talent did. That was his mistake. He looked at, why am I getting only one talent? This one we're giving five. This one we're giving two. Why I get only one? I'm not doing anything. I can't even do it. He was afraid. So that fear got him into serious trouble. So neither should we think more highly than we ought, nor even think less than we should. Just give glory to God. It is God that worketh in us both to will and to perform his good pleasure. So I'm going to throw it open now. I want to discuss these gifts. I'm going to ask some questions as I moderate this part of how do you, discover these gifts? How do you know these things? There are some things, there are even some natural things, that can help us in discovery. And I can give you examples in the scriptures, you may not know that they are gifts at first, but you find that you have, some people call it talent or whatever, but you have, the propensity to be able to do these things. Some people can see and visualize, they're gifted in design and different things. They can just do it. Some people can craft things together. Some people are blessed with, ability to play musical instruments. Some can do it without even learning. it's a mystery. You can just get on there and find some kids and get on there and they can just do this thing. And then with a little more practice, they get better, but they just can do it even before they were taught. Some people are natural artists. They can visualize things. They can draw. They can do, some people can make things, they love carpentry. They love, to sew and put things together and do craft and so on. You have to discover what it is. It's not only prophecy and it's not only preaching. All these gifts are in the body and you got to use it. The Bible says giving to them that profit without, for everybody's blessing. So you got to discover, we need to all discover, and it's a lifetime of discovery. It's not just, you may have discovered something earlier on, but later on in life, you may even discover other things. You may feel like, oh my goodness. God may be showing you even more, because, many of us have not even tapped, 50% of our abilities because we focus on what we have discovered. And some people have not even discovered, so how do we discover? And that which we have discovered, how do we get better at it? And maybe there's more to discover. There's always more to discover. So let's talk about it. What do you find here ability in doing, you know. Some people are naturally very cheerful and outgoing. They love to greet. They love to, I mean, they bond in instantly with even total strangers. Well, they may find that that may be a gifting, for they may be part of the, you know, hospitality community in church, the group. They greet people, welcome them, this and that. We don't know. I mean, you have to discover it. You know, some people just like to give away things. You know, maybe they are givers, and so on and so forth. And, you know, you may also have that you have the ability to be a good speaker. Well, maybe, you know, God will use that someday. You may not be speaking today into lives of people, but you may be speaking later on. You know, you may be an encourager, you know, he that exhorted, the encouragers, you know, Barnabas, some of these people are called sons of, you know, encouragement. I mean, they love to encourage others, build them up and so forth. You know, there may be other talents. We find ourselves navigating towards those things. Well, maybe those are the things that you have to harness and say, wow, you know. Now, let me put this statement out there, you know, before I round this segment up. God doesn't play dice with our lives. In other words, let me just throw the dice out there and see what comes out. He doesn't do that. We may be the ones trying to do that with our own lives. God already knows exactly what talents he placed in you. It's all for us to discover. And there is nothing in us that's wasted. There's a purpose for everything. You know, you may be doing something now and totally not planning for what God has in future for you. But whatever you're doing now will come into play later on. I mean, David was a shepherd boy, wasn't planning to be a king or anything, wasn't even thinking about it. You know, but all of that time that he spent in the bush warding off, you know, wild animals from the flock. Well, usually there are groups of shepherds, but he was there by himself, you know, because it's hard to fight off all these, you know, wild animals all by yourself. But all of that experience that he was, you know, gaining while he was out in the bush, little did he know that one day those things would catapult him to the throne. Even though God already appointed him and knew him, God knew that. See, it was, you know, it was his victory over Goliath that really made everybody say, wow, this is the man, you know, because that also painted a target in his back. But the point is, you know, there's nothing wasted in our lives. You know, whatever you may be going, using or finding in yourself now, God can use it later on. I myself, I didn't know it when I was little, but I would discover later on that, you know, there was always the attribute of faith in my life. I could do things even when I was a little boy that remind, you know, that needed faith to do, and sometimes even tremendous faith. And I didn't know it at the time, but later on, you know, I would discover that, wow, that's actually faith in action. You know, praise the Lord. You know, and then God, even gifts can be developed later that may not even be realized at first. You know, I'm a speaker now and I can speak and I'm never afraid to speak, you know, but I love to speak now, but it wasn't always the case. Yeah. When I was in high school, in my early years, I joined what we call the literary and debating society in my school. It was a fascinating name. So I just said, my goodness, I mean, debate, literacy and all these things. So I joined. I thought, you know, it was all cool, but I was terrified. The first day I was called to speak. I didn't know that I was going to stand before these hundreds of people. And I was content to just be, you know, in the background and just enjoying everybody else speaking. One day it was my turn to speak. I just hoped that, you know, that day the ground would just open up and I would enter it. I mean, that's how bad it was. I didn't even want to do it. I wanted no part of that. You know, I was so terrified of the thing. Well, fast forward many years, here am I today. By the grace of God, yeah, now I can speak in season and out of season. But when I started, I was terrified, you know. So some things may even start out, you know. Jesus said it himself, a grain of a mustard seed can start out very little, and you nourish it enough times, you know, and then you might find that it becomes something tremendous, a massive tree. That's what Paul is talking about here. Nourish, give attendance to the things that you discover. Nourish it, and you may see that it may become, blossom into something tremendous. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this lesson. And as we discuss discovering our gifts, using them in the service of the Lord and others with humility, help us as we go into this segment. And everybody will be able to share and speak with grace and with wisdom. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.